The scripture reading is from Proverbs 22, verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. May the Lord add a blessing to his reading.
Amen. I call the message The Legacy of a Godly Parent, and by that I really mean godly parents. I know in my own household growing up, I had a godly mother. My father wasn't particularly godly, and so there were strifes in the family. But I always knew all of my life growing up, and especially with 20/20 hindsight reflecting back, that I had a mother whose greatest wish, whose greatest desire in her life, that her children grow up to love the Lord and be part of His church and to be ready when Jesus comes. And it's been a burden on my heart. How do we pass this on? Now, we know Jesus is coming soon. I believe that with all my heart. And yet we, parents, grandparents, everyone who is within the sphere of influence of a young person, has a particular burden, a responsibility on our shoulders to ensure that our young people grow up to be prepared when Jesus comes. And that's why the scripture text was training up a child in the way he should go, so that when he is old, he will not depart from it. I'm going to ask that we bow our heads for a moment as we ask for the Lord's blessing on today's message. Loving and gracious Heavenly Father, our Heavenly Parent, you who train us, you who have given us words of wisdom and instruction. Lord, as we share these words of wisdom today, may it be your voice that's heard. May it be your message that is spoken. May the source be found in your heart today and in your mind from your throne. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray and through the ministry of His Spirit. Amen. Amen. All of us with children, with grandchildren, we want them to grow up to be successful. We want them to be good citizens, of course. We want them to know how to live life, how to make it through life. We want the best for our children. In fact, every good parent, and you know this, if you're a parent especially, you want life to be better for your child than it was for you. Right? Because you look back over your life and you think of the hardships you've gone through, and you just hope your child, your grandchild, doesn't go through those same hardships. You hope that they grow up to be smart and innovative. Like the young man that I heard about a few days ago. There in the Finger Lakes region several years ago in upstate New York, they discovered a way to make money. Now, I don't know if you do this. I'm going to make a public confession. I do this on occasion. When I'm driving by a place and there's a police officer doing his duty, who I have highest regard for, just in case any of you have policemen in your family, but if he's sitting there parked along the road, hiding half of his vehicle behind a bush, you know, and I pass by him, you know what I do when I see the next car coming? Flash the headlights. That slows them down, right? I mean, isn't that what the police want, is you to drive at the speed limit? So I flash my headlights. Well, I was telling a friend about this the other day, and he told me about some kids that were making good money at this. They turned it into a business. Up there along one of the Finger Lakes, I think he said Seneca Lake, okay? As you drive up the highway that goes along that lake, there's a place where, you know, you call it a speed zap, speed zone or something, but a police officer likes to sit along, hiding half of his vehicle behind the bushes, you know, and playing the gotcha game, you know. You go by and you're breaking the speed limit, gotcha, there he is, right behind, you know. Some of you know what I'm talking about. I've been there, you know. Okay. Well, so what they did was they had one young man stand this, about a quarter of a mile, this side of where the police car was sitting there, waiting to play gotcha. And he had a big old sign up and it says, police, state police car ahead. Okay? So the policeman sitting there in his police car wondering, how come everybody just seems to be going the speed limit? Well, so you see the kid with the sign that says, police car ahead. And so you slow down, and about a quarter mile past that police car, you see another kid with another sign that says, you're welcome, and he's got a basket in front of him. And people are slowing down and putting money, $5, $10, into that basket. And they were making a pretty good haul that way, warning people. In fact, the guy that was telling me about this says he slowed down, put a few bucks into this kid's basket. Thank you very much. The warning was given. I slowed down, didn't get a ticket. These kids were innovative. These kids were what we call modern-day entrepreneurs. Okay? They knew how to make a little extra money, a few bucks. You know, parents, you know, we may kind of slough this, well, I don't want my kid to become money worshiping. You know, I want them to think about more things than wealth and popularity and making a lot of money. And yet, we want our kids to be successful in life. But above all, if you're a Christian parent, you want your child to be spiritually successful in life. You want them to grow up to know the precious lessons of the Scripture. You want them to grow up loving Jesus, loving His Word, and living life in harmony with His Word. You want them, above all, to be preparing for that great and glorious day when Jesus comes in the clouds of heaven so that you can be with your children in heaven. Every Christian parent has that desire to see their kids. And yet, you and I know that our generation, it seems to be harder to raise godly kids than at any time in the history of planet Earth. You think that's true? With the peer pressure, with the media pressure, with all of the diversions, all of the tactics that the enemy uses to pull our children away from us, from our church, from the Bible, from godly teaching, from the teachings of godly parents, all of the methods and methodologies the enemy uses to draw our kids, to pull them away from God. Oh, and he's powerful, and he's wily, and he's working very hard to accomplish it. I know, even though I was privileged to go to grow up in a Seventh-day Adventist church and to go at least my first 6 years to a Seventh-day Adventist church school, I know that there were some of the people that I grew up with who no longer count themselves as Seventh-day Adventists, people that I went to school with, people who received the same worship training in the morning, people who went through the same Bible classes as myself. I know that people still exercise their will. People still exercise their free moral choices, and they still make decisions, no matter what we do, no matter what kind of influence and example and training we give them. And yet, as I read the Scripture, as I read our Scripture verse that was shared a few moments ago, Proverbs 22, verse 6, we have what virtually sounds like a promise to us if we abide by our end of the bargain. It says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, I take that at face value, recognizing that the Proverbs are exactly that. You know, they're not always 100%, you know, hard in the concrete written, but they are conditions that God gives for us. They're like promises. If we do this, then the outcome will be this. Okay? And so we are admonished to train up our young people in the way they should go. Now, what does that mean, to train up a young person in the way they should go? Well, the idea of training up something has to do with, in the Hebrew mindset in the Old Testament, they talked about training plants, especially vines, to grow a certain way. You know, you set up the trellis the plants grow on, and you set these up, and you fix the vine so that it grows up just the way that you want it to grow. Okay? You give it an advanced start, you know, get it growing the direction that you want it to go. And so you're training up that vine or that plant, whatever kind it may be. It may be flowers, it may be some other kind of plant, but you're training it in the direction that you want it to go. Kind of like, you know, a modern day analogy might be training a child to ride his bicycle for the first time. You know, what do? You get little Junior, little Johnny, little Susie on the bike, you know, and you're standing there next to them and you're trying to head them straight down the driveway. Not into the right ditch, there may be a post to run into. Not into the left ditch, there may be muddy water for them to fall into. But you're trying to train your child to go straight down the way that you want them to go. And so you start them off in the right direction with the hope that if you start them in the right direction, they will continue on in that right direction. Okay? So, we as parents and some grandparents, we as the adults in the church congregation, because the church has a function to play here as well. The Lord has laid upon us the responsibility of training our young people to be godly people, to love the Lord, to be ready for the second coming of Jesus. That's our responsibility. That's part of the commission the Lord has laid upon us. When he said, go into all the world and baptize and make disciples, he's talking also about discipling our children. How does that happen? How does that happen? Well, I look at it in these terms. A few months ago, for Christmas, you know, my wife got me one of these new gadgets. It tells you how to get from point A to point Z. You know, it's called the GPS. You know, some of you have a GPS. All right. I've never actually used it yet. Almost afraid to plug it in. I got some electrical problems in my car, you know, so I'm afraid it's going to blow up to some circuit or something. But I've seen them used. Now, GPS stands for what? Global Position System. Am I right? Okay. And the idea is, if you're trying to get to some place you've never been to before, you don't know the way to it, well, all you do is you type in you type in the address of your place you're trying to go to. And some signal communicates with a satellite way out in space. Isn't this awesome? It communicates with some satellite out in space. And that communicates back to your little GPS unit. And it can be some little box about this big. And it's got this voice in there. And I think they got, you know, when they manufacture it, they cram some lady inside of this thing, because it's always a woman's voice. At least mine, all the ones I've heard, you know. And this voice will tell you, turn right in 2 miles. All right? And then after you turn right, it'll say turn left in a quarter mile. Now, the beautiful thing is, if you miss your turn, and sometimes they don't always get it right, what do they tell you to do? Hey, dummy, turn around. Do a U-turn. Recalculate. Do a U-turn in 1/10 of a mile. Recalculate. All this kind of stuff. I'm sitting there, and I'm listening to this thing and thinking, wow, that is way cool. Now, they don't always get it right. When I was in California a few months ago, I was riding with someone that was using a GPS to tell us how to get to this big convention office. And it was a big, confused maze of roads, you know, turn left, do a U-E here, you know, all this kind of stuff. And finally it says, you have arrived. And we're looking around and we ain't arrived anywhere. You know? Well, the hotel where the convention was, technically, we were within walking distance now of it, but there was this great big fence between us and the highway. We're still on the highway. There's this big fence. We're not at the hotel yet. We're just kind of in proximity, you understand? So they don't always get it right. But they come in very handy, okay? If you're trying to go someplace and you've never been to that place, you don't know a particular area, it'll tell you, turn right here, turn left here, another 100 feet, turn right. If you miss your turn, what? You know, recalibrate, turn around, come back, you know. And they're pleasant to you. They don't say, turn around, dummy, you know. They're courteous, you know. But they're very handy. And I got thinking about that in the light of when it comes to training our children. It's kind of like installing, and you know, follow the analogy here just for a moment. Play with me here for a moment. It's kind of like installing an inner GPS into them. God positioning system. Okay? Not a global positioning system, but their personal God positioning system. Now, when we install this, you know, you call it an analogy, you know, into our children, what we're really training them to do is every decision they make this decision in light of what would God have me to do? Okay? How can I live my life in honor of God? In other words, every day of their life, they take God. Every decision in their life, they take God into account. Every place they go, they take God into account. Every place they go for entertainment, whether they go to be with friends, whether they choose a job, whether they choose a life partner, whatever they choose to do, they take God into account of that decision. Lord, what would you have me to do? So that every life-altering decision they make is only made after they have prayerfully and carefully waited out, because God is the one who is their GPS in them making the decision. Isn't that neat? Because that's what we're really training our children to do. We're not trying to train them to just, you know, mindlessly say yes, no, yes, no, yes, sir, no, sir. You know, well, it's wrong to do this, so I won't do this. You know, all this kind. We want them to be thinking in ways that brings God into their thinking, so that they're asking God almost automatically, not always thinking about it, but they have this ongoing conversation with God. Lord, what would you have me do today? Lord, what decision would you like me to make about this? Lord, how would you like me to live in the confines of your will today? Lord, lead me where you would have me go. Give me the directions. Now, you and I know that it's not always easy to get the answers from God right away. Sometimes we have to pray a lot, right? Sometimes when we're asking for God to make to help us with a decision, sometimes we pray, and we pray again, and we pray again, and then we ask for godly counsel, okay? You ask someone who's a godly person for counsel, maybe your parent, grandparent, or someone. Sometimes you study the Bible or the spirit of prophecy, perhaps, and suddenly it's like God just speaks to you through a verse out of the scripture that, wow, this is what God is saying to me. Okay? And what we want to train our children to do is learn to depend upon the wisdom and knowledge of God. Learn to put God first in their lives. Learn to see God as one to be a friend of and not to be afraid of. Learn to have their own personal relationship with God as a heavenly Father and to trust Him and to know Him. Well, that's where our training comes in. Train up a child to learn dependency and relationship with God first and foremost. Ah, but the enemy is clever and the enemy is wily and he has many, many detractions for our young people. Some of the games that they play, the gadgets they get connected to, all of the attractions and allurements of peer pressure and the power of living in this culture, this society that we live in. And the challenge is there, well, what am I as a parent to do? What are you as a parent to do? Or grandparent? Or anyone else with a position of influence over young people? Well, there's a number of things we can do. First of all, we must be intentional. Purposeful, if you will, with our kids. We must look at them as the blessed treasure that God has entrusted to us for the purpose of raising them to delight in and to love and to honor the God that we worship. Okay? We as parents, we as the influence, are the role models, we set the example. Oh, I don't always like being the example. You know me as your pastor. My wife knows me at the house as her husband. My kids know me as a flawed human being. And yet, God calls us to be the example for our children. We set the atmosphere. What is your home life like? Is it overly rigid? Okay. Children need the opportunity sometimes to fumble and make mistakes. They need a certain amount of latitude, especially the older they get. Now, small children, we need to establish the groundwork for. We need to let them know that, yes, if they put their hands on the stove, they get burned. We need to let them know they're not to play in the street. We need to let them know very early on that there's some behaviors that are inappropriate and some behaviors that are acceptable. We need to set the foundation very, very early on. And then as they increasingly get older, we allow more and more latitude as they, with that internal GPS, that God-positioning device in them, as they begin more and more to make their own decisions, we need to allow them to sometimes make decisions we're not totally comfortable with. And yet, we need to allow the freedom that God allows them to go. But we have trained them. We have set them in the right direction. So we are purposeful, we are intentional, and we spend time in spiritual time with our kids. The reason I'm in the church today is not because I couldn't have been any other place. It's because I had a godly mother who sat down with us every morning. Oh, I didn't always like it, We get up. Growing up on the farm out there in northern Michigan, we get up, we go and milk those cows, come back and clean up, eat breakfast, and then before we get on the bus, there's mother insisting that we sit down with her and she reads to us, having prayed first, from the Bible story books, from the Great Controversy, from Story of Redemption, from Spiritual Gifts, and all of those pictures and images of the things that my besainted mother read to us. Were indelible. Well, it's scratched into my brain. I can talk. They're etched into my mind. And even at that young age, she steered me in the direction towards being a gospel minister in God's remnant church. Made a lot of mistakes on the way. Did a lot of things that I'd be ashamed to admit to you today. But because of that early childhood training, where my godly mother sat down and impressed the godly GPS into me, so that even growing up in a public school situation, still, God was able to reach through to me and show me the need that I had. So it's a time, the intentional time, that we spend with our children, reading to them, praying with them and for them, setting them a godly example. You know, I've known parents that, I was dealing with a family not long ago that they wanted their child to be dedicated, their baby to be dedicated. Trouble is, the parents weren't dedicated. Huh? The parents weren't living a godly life. Why should they expect their child to live a godly life? If we want our children to grow up to love Jesus, we need to love Jesus. If we want them to be preparing for the second coming of Jesus, we need to be preparing for the second coming of Jesus. And let the atmosphere of our home be a reflection of the joy and the happiness that we have in our walk with Jesus. How many children grow up and they've grown up in overly strict, tight-knit, rigid homes? And what has all too often been the result? As soon as they got out of the house, they couldn't wait to get as far away from God and the church as they possibly could, because of the environment that was created in the home. We, parents, have the responsibility of creating a godly environment in the home. Make being a Christian something to be happy about. Something to be excited about. Why? I couldn't see my life as anything else but a believer in Jesus because of godly legacy of my parents, because they have installed that God positioning system into me. And so the decisions that I make and the life that I lead, the choices that I make from day to day, always take God into account. Because God is personal, because God is real, because God is there with me. That's the legacy of a godly parent. A parent who loves enough and who cares enough to raise children. But you know, it's not just parents I'm talking to today, but all of us who are called upon to raise the next generation to be the Advent hope, the Advent leaders, the people that govern and guide His church in the end times. The people who are strong in the Lord, who are powerful in His Word, the people who have a solid grasp on what it means to be a Seventh-day Adventist, what it means to be a true believer in Jesus, what it means to be preparing for Jesus to come. Oh, that's a weighty responsibility God has put on our shoulders, to be sure. But thankfully, He hasn't sent us without the promise that He accompanies us. Right? Remember what Jesus said when He gave the Great Commission. You know, He said, go therefore, make disciples of all nations, teaching them to observe all things I have taught you, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And then He said, and when you get back, check in on it. Check in with me, okay? Is that what He said? He said, lo, I am with you as you fulfill the Great Commission. I am with you, parents, as you are raising your children to be godly people. I am with you, grandparents, as through your influence and through your care and your loving kindness, you are helping to set the tone for your children. I am with you, church, as you are looking with compassion and care upon the children of the church and seeking to create the best possible environment by which children can know and love Jesus. Jesus says, I am with you, ministry, as you seek ways to help nurture children along, to help to install that inner GPS system so that they will have a God consciousness, so that they will have a God awareness, so that they will love Jesus and they will turn to Jesus on all matters, large and small, so that in their walk, everyday walk, in the decisions they make, the choices they make, they will learn to habitually and customarily turn to God is a source of wisdom and strength, so that the Word of God becomes their guide day by day, so that they can't imagine starting a day without committing their lives to God, because it just comes natural. It's been entrenched. It's been cultivated. It's been ingrained within them to start each day with God. Jesus says, I am with you all who are fulfilling the Great Commission, whether it's in the mission field over the seas or whether it's in the confines of your own home. I am with you. And so we need to prayerfully accept and claim this promise. And we need to pray for our children, for our young people. The devil is attacking our young people today violently and viciously and more strongly than he has ever attacked. Why? Because he knows his time is short. And if he can hammer away hard enough at our young people and pull them away from Christ, he will have won a victory. But we need to be on our knees for our young people, our children, our teenagers, our young adults. God hasn't finished with them yet. God has not finished with them yet. By the bedside of my in-laws, there was a book that had a statement in the back of the book. And I don't remember it word for word. But it was to this, you know, to this, had this meaning behind it. The very last message that will go into all the world will be to our young people. Those who may have grown up, they've been taught perhaps early on, and yet they have grown up and for whatever reason have left the church. But the last redeeming, appealing message will be to our young people to come back and line up behind Prince Jesus and rejoin his remnant church and be ready for the time when Jesus comes. I look forward to that message. God's not finished with our young people. I know there are parents and grandparents and great-grandparents who are agonizing in prayer for our young people. God's not finished with your young person. But we need to do our part. Continue to pray for them. Continue to set the example, the influence. Continue to provide an example that is joyful, and yet alert them that the decision someday needs to be made, that Jesus is coming soon. And may God help us to be good examples. May God help our young people. May God help our little ones and our teenagers and our young adults to have the God's positioning system in them. And may God be with all of us as we go forward today, as we go forward in the strength and might of the Lord. We need to teach them early to seek the Savior in their lives. And so we close with 539. 539, I will early seek the Savior. Let's bow our heads. And now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all in your hearts and in your homes. Through Jesus we pray. Amen.